You. This will be my third time here, first time to preach. And, you know, when you go and you preach in someone else's pulpit, you can either do a good or do bad and make you wish you had another preacher or glad that you have the preacher that you have. And you can do that one or two ways. That if I preach for an hour and a half, which I normally do at home, you'll be glad that you have your pastor. But if I preach 20 minutes, you're going to wish that your pastor was new. And I'm going to do the longer one today. I didn't ask my brother what he was teaching on. I said, what's your pastor been preaching on? And he told me. And so when Gary said Nehemiah, I was like, oh boy, I hope he didn't say chapter 8. And he said chapter 4. So he kind of set me up a little bit, and unbeknownst to me. But if you'll grab your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. I like Nehemiah. I've always liked Nehemiah. And we're going to look at the first 12 verses here this morning. And we're going to be preaching on understanding God's Word. Understanding God's Word. And when we understand God's Word, we have to respond in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And if you found your place there, if you are can and able, if you would please stand with me as I read God's Word. It says, and all the people gathered together, or gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Anai, and Uriah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and on his right hand, and on his left hand, Padiah, and Mishael, and Malchi, and Hashem, and Hashdanai, Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua and Benai and Sherebiah and Jamin, Akub, Shaphathiah, Hadiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, I love these names. No one ever names their kids this, and thankfully for that. Azariah, Jozabed, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshathath, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to just be in your house and worship you today. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for your watching care over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I appreciate the singing and the special. And Ben, you did good, buddy. I just want to give you some words of encouragement. Our man that's been leading our music was interim, starting at 19 years of age, and this year he'll be leading the music for 50 years at our church. And so he started out, as Gary said, indefinite, and he's been doing it ever since, and he's done a great job. Understanding God's Word is not an optional thing for us. Understanding God's Word, I believe, is very crucial, especially in the days in which we are living today. And if we want to live our lives in the way that we are designed to live them, we have to understand how that we can do it. And the only way that we can do that is to understand His Word. That's to get into His Word. That's to study His Word. And so the question that this text has brought to us is, how do we understand His Word? What is He trying to tell us? How is God trying to speak to us? And He's trying to speak to us the exact same way that He is speaking to the remnant in this passage. If you all, you might think, you know, understanding God's Word is based upon how the person is delivering the message, or how the person is delivering is what is important. But you might think that if it's the preacher is doing the job, doing a good job, then everything is going to be okay. But we have to understand that it's not having the right preacher, because if everybody that listened to Jesus, He was the right preacher. He was the best preacher. And then if everybody that listened to Him would have gotten saved, but that wasn't the case. So it's not necessarily, or it's not having the right preacher. Everybody that listened to Paul would have completely understood God's Word, but that wasn't the case either, was it? Because not only does it take the right message and the right method to understand God's Word, it takes the right response, and that falls back on you, doesn't it? It falls back on me. If I'm listening to, we were at a conference and we had 16 messages, I think, this week, that we heard. And so it's my response to the preaching of the Word. It's your response to the preaching of the Word. And so do you want to understand the Bible in such a way that it will be sufficient for all of your life's needs? Then you must have the right response to its teaching. This morning, I'm going to look at six things, and I'm going to, if I will listen fast, I will talk fast, okay? Then we're going to look at six ways that the remnant responded to the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. And as we do this, I trust that you will be responding, you'll be persuaded to respond in the same way when we hear God's Word preached and taught. So the first thing, that if you're taking notes, and I would encourage you to do that, is when God's Word is preached, we are to respond in unity. It's important that we respond in unity. If we want to understand God's Word, we have to gather together in unity. And you see this passage here in chapter 8, they talked about all the people. They gathered together for the teaching. And it wasn't just part of them. And it wasn't just occasionally. They all gathered. And again, I'm not going to give you all the details, but they had been through so much. If you read the book of Ezra and you get into the book of Nehemiah, and Gary is talking about building the wall and how they were halfway done. And they did so much because God was working in their lives and they were doing it together. And so they all gathered. In the verse, notice how it says that all the people gathered. They're in verse 1. They gathered what, as the Bible tells us, as one man. Now what does that mean? It means that they gathered in unity. They left their differences behind, and they were all equally as spiritual. Now were they all equally spiritual? No. Some of them had been passing information back and forth to the enemy. Some of them were related to Tobiah, and we know how he was, don't we? And were secretly plotting with him against Nehemiah. There was nothing more than they enjoyed than to discourage them. But they were all part of the as one man who came to hear the preaching of God's Word. They didn't bring those differences or disagreements out at that time. It wasn't the right time, nor was it the right place.
And later on, Nehemiah is going to take care of some of those things as you read this book. Differences were laid aside for the preaching of the word. Now notice what it says there as well. It says all the men. But they didn't stop there, did it? It goes on to say all the women. And then it goes on to say, and all the children who were old enough to understand. Now, this is not the only time that this is mentioned here in the book of Nehemiah. It's mentioned earlier in the chapter as well. So divisions of age and social classes were laid aside just like they should be laid aside for us. Everyone must be welcome. Everyone must be encouraged to sit and under the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. And if someone comes in here to listen to the preaching of God's Word, we must gather together with them, as the Bible says, as one man. No matter what they look like, no matter what their background is, no matter if we know them or not, no matter if they have a lifestyle that is an abomination or not, and we're not talking about church membership here. We're just talking about people need to hear the Word of God preached. We need more people saved in this world. We need people's lives changed. And we had a young man about 33 years of age, I believe, just recently. He'd been coming to our church for 6 or 7 months. He's got an aunt and uncle that lives there. And I knew the Lord had been working on him. He'd been asking me questions after Sunday school class time. And then he would talk to me after church. And then he would talk to his aunt and uncle. And then he finally came and he talked to me in my office one day. And I says, why don't we start doing a Bible study? And I had our associate pastor said, I said, why don't you let Brother Dalton do a Bible study with you? And it wasn't about 3 weeks into this Bible study. I said, that way he can answer anything that you might have. He accepted Christ as his Savior. And he continued to do a Bible study. And he made the comment to Brother Dalton. He goes, everything makes more sense now. And isn't it amazing how that once we've accepted Jesus Christ, that the words that's coming off of these pages, it's not just a bunch of words, it's beginning to have a lot of meaning. And that's what the preaching and teaching of God's Word will do. That's what's when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and say, hey, I need to be different. So it matters not what the background is. It's hearing the Word of God preached. And when we hear God's Word preached rightly, then what are we supposed to do? The Bible tells us that we should respond in unity. And that's what we see here. They were working together, as Gary had already mentioned, and they're in chapter 4. They were building together, and they were watching together, and they were taking care of things together. What else do we see here? When God's Word is preached, not only do we respond in unity, but we are to respond with eagerness. When you come to church, what are you looking for? What was the remnant looking for? Verse 1 says that when the people gathered together, they told Ezra to what? Bring out the book. How many times do people go to church and they want something else brought out besides the book? Maybe bring out some good singing. There's nothing wrong with good singing, is there? Bring out some emotional speaking. Well, what good is that going to do you after a period of time, right? Bring out some good fellowship. And again, those things are not bad, but there's a time and a place for those. Bring out the activities. Bring out something, but bring out the book? Really? All of it? But yet, that's exactly what the remnant asked for. This wasn't some sort of spontaneous thought. This was an eagerness that they had to prepare for. This had been in the works for a while. They were so eager to hear Ezra preach the word that they had already built him. The Bible tells us what a platform so that they could see and they could hear. And after they got the area cleared and the site prepared and the pulpit built, they gathered together and called Ezra in. And when he got there, they didn't ask him to entertain them. They didn't ask him to tell, you know, some cute stories. They didn't ask him to give them 10 ways to make their lives easier. They asked him to bring out the book and explain it to them. Now, why did they so eagerly do that? because they were eager to meet God. I believe with all my heart, and I've been pastoring for, goodness, almost 30 years now. If people just got in the book and they studied the Word and let God speak, we wouldn't have church splits. We'd have people in unity and coming together, and they would be more concerned about people's souls and lives being changed than, did you see what so-and-so wore to church? Did you see the hair color of so-and-so yesterday? And we would be more concerned about that. And we see here they had an eagerness to hear the Word of God preached. And they knew that the way to meet God is to meet Him right here. So I ask you this morning, are you eager to meet God? And if you are, then you need to meet Him in the way that He is designed. Meet Him in His Word. And then you know what? Prepare. Gary and I grew up in the same home. And I followed the Lord and he didn't. I'm just kidding. But we grew up in the same home, and my dad's philosophy, or our dad's philosophy, was you need to prepare for Sunday on Saturday. Get to the point that you're not tired, that when you come to church, you don't sleep through church. Garrison told me he found out I was preaching. He was going to bring a pillow so he could get a nap today. Are you awake, Garrison? You're trying to stay awake? But we know we need to meet Him in His Word, and we need to eagerly prepare and eagerly gather to hear His Word preached. And you need to be in a church, and I know I've been here a few times, and I know the Word is preached here. So you ought to be excited about that. You ought to be glad that the Word is preached from this church, from this pulpit. And we need to be eager to hear His Word. And you can answer that by, hey, have I prepared? How eagerly have you prepared? And I know your pastor, because I've been here, and he goes through a book and he studies the book, and I like doing it that way because it keeps me in line, but it also keeps me from, if I'm stepping on someone's toes, I'm like, it's in the next part of the book. So I tell our church, if you miss this Sunday coming up, I know why, because you got some problems and you don't want to be preached to. Because I encourage them to read ahead, to study the Word. And so, how am I preparing? Now, what would have happened if the remnant would have called Ezra to open the book to them, but they hadn't prepared a place for him to launch it from, to build? And they were eager. Their eagerness would have been proven weak, wouldn't it? You say you're ready, but you're not. We say we want revival, but we say deep down in my heart, no, I don't want to be encouraged. I don't want to be my toes stepped on. I don't want to be under conviction that I'm not living like I should. So I don't want revival, but I do, right? So what do we have? We have a platform, and we have a building, and we have a pulpit. So how can you eagerly prepare? As I said, you know, read the text. If you know your pastor's preaching through a book, read the book. Read it through several times. And again, I try to preach that way so that people know, and there's other times that I preach on a topical thing or a theme or something like that. But read the text for yourself. Ask questions. What is this trying to say? Let it bring questions to your mind. And be eager in your approach on Sunday. And that way you'll expect something when you get here. I tell our church all the time, if you come into church and expecting to get something out of it, you'll get something out of it. But if you're coming to church trying to stir up strife, then you're going to stir up strife. But I don't think that's pleasing to the Lord. We should be coming here to get something out of the Word. And so, if we're not coming to expecting to get something, then guess what? We're just going to have some stuff dumped in our lap, and then when we stand up, it's just going to fall on the floor. And we're not going to be any difference coming out of this building than we were when we're coming in. If you want to understand God's Word, you need to respond with eagerness. Now, the third thing is, we need to respond with endurance. You know, you may have some preachers that you like to listen to that may be, as we call it, long-winded. You may or may not like John MacArthur, but this is what he says. It's impossible to preach an expository sermon in less than 45 to 50 minutes. Now, the difference between his sermons and mine is that he has something to say that long. And I figure as soon as I can get done, the better off y'all are. And I don't know about, though, of a good expository preacher who preaches less than 30 minutes. It's almost impossible to do what verse 8 of our text says in less than that. And to most of us, 30 to 45 minutes seems like a long time to sit through a sermon. You know, we're raising a bunch of people today that only want to do TikToks or something like that, so they have about a 90-second attention span. You know, we've got some problems in our country today. But you look back through history, and I wonder, what if their attitudes were different? Gary and I's granddad would preach two-week revivals. Man, you can barely get, I don't know how it is here, but back home, you can barely get a three-day revival going. When you look at some of the great revivals, the Great Awakening, they were long. Their sermons were long. Most of them were well over an hour. And we try to cram everything in an hour. And you think about that. My granddad or our granddad would preach in an open-air tent, folding chairs, no air conditioning. And now we complain if it's not cold enough or if it's not hot enough, right, inside the building. Now imagine this scene here in our passage. These people prepared for the service by building a platform. But notice what they didn't build. Do you see any mention of chairs? They were gathered together and practically begged Ezra to bring them the book. And here's the thing about Ezra. That's exactly what he did. And he read to them for the first five books of the Bible. And he read to them from morning until midday. And verse 5 tells us that the people stood up the whole time. And maybe you'd have to stand to keep from falling asleep. I don't know, especially around the book of Leviticus. I love trying to read that book. But sometimes, folks, it takes endurance, doesn't it, to sit through the preaching of God's Word. And preaching can't be done in brief little sound bites. It takes time to expositionally preach a passage of Scripture. It takes time to read it distinctly. It takes time to give the sense of the passage. It takes time to cause understanding to happen. And all of that time takes a certain amount of endurance. And if you want to truly understand God's Word, you will respond with endurance. Number 4, when God's Word is preached, we are to respond with attentiveness. Verse 3 in our text says that the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And just like the romantic couple might say that they have only eyes for each other, the literally meaning of the verse says, ears, all the people, to the book of the law. The people had ears for the Bible. Oh, that we have more people like that today. They weren't going to be distracted by anything else. You know, I've been asked, does it bother you when kids cry or something in church? I said, no, I can normally get louder than them and it doesn't bother me. And I normally don't notice. But what I do notice is that everybody else notices. And I think we all have a degree of ADD, don't we? Oh, looky there. Oh, look over there. But I think we can all improve on our focus, can't we? We can improve on our attentiveness by participating. And look at how the people in the passage participated. They stood up, they lifted their hands, and they shouted what the Bible says, amen, amen. What? At the appropriate times. They interacted with the teacher. Now, are we all going to do that? No. Sometimes those things can be a distraction, can't they? But here's what you can do to add to your attentiveness, and that's participating.
As I encourage you, you know, number one, you need to bring your Bible. That's kind of a falling away nowadays too. And when you say, the preacher says something about look at verse 8 or look at verse 3 or look at verse 6, you turn and you look at that and you look at that and leave that Bible open in your lap or maybe beside you. And if you take notes, and I'd encourage you to take notes because you may not take good notes, but you'll be able to go back and look at that. But it also keeps your attention. And it helps you that if you've already read ahead, you kind of know what's coming, don't you? And there's just something about holding a pen and holding a piece of paper in your hands and writing down questions that you may have, writing down a cross-reference passage that may be brought up into your mind. And maybe even occasional. Is it all right if y'all say amen around here? That's okay. I have cue cards. I didn't bring them with me, but they say amen. Just because sometimes people don't know if they can or not, so I'll raise them up and say, yeah, it's all right. Look at number 5 here this morning with me real quick. When God's Word is preached, we are to respond with, listen to me, humility. The remnant's humility really showed in 3 different ways. First, it showed by them seeing their need. They knew what they didn't know. And sometimes that's hard for us, isn't it? Especially when you've been in church for a long time. It's easy to get to the point where we think, oh, you know what, I've got it all figured out. As you heard me say, we went to a preaching conference there in Missouri and 16 messages. You think, what am I going to learn? You know what, you can learn a lot by listening to the preaching of God's Word. Because everybody's personality and everybody's upbringing is different. I'm going to bring out something that my brother doesn't bring out. I'm going to bring out something that your pastor will bring out. Why? Because we've come from different walks and different circles of life. Because things, we see things in a different light or a different avenue. And so when we say, well, I'm not going to get anything out of the preaching of God's Word, we don't know that. Because it's not the preaching of God's Word that we need to be concerned about. We need to be concerned about opening the Bible and reading it. How many times have you read through the Bible and you caught something? Maybe you've read that chapter or that passage of Scripture 5 or 6 times, and on the 6th time, it's totally different than the first time. See, that's what God's Word does to us. That's what God's Word shows us. It brings stuff out that we didn't even think was possible. They're like, wow. But responding with humility means seeing your need. It also means showing reverence. In verse 5, when Ezra opened God's Word, all the people stood up as a sign of their reverence. You know, years ago, some of you will remember this, maybe you won't, but Ben would stand up when a lady walked in the room. Why? It's a show of respect. It was a show of reverence. And now people don't even stand up when presidents or somebody like that walks in. See, we're losing our ability to show respect for others. We have no humility. Humility before God shows respect to His house. It shows respect to His Word. It shows respect to the teaching and the preaching of His Word. And the third way the remnant showed humility was in verse 6. They were free in their worship and bowed their heads and knelt before His greatness. When they were moved by God's Word, if they were moved to praise, they praised without worrying what others might think. If they were moved to brokenness, they were broken before the Lord without worrying what others might think. They responded with humility to the Word. And if you want to understand God's Word, that's how you will respond. You're going to humbly realize that you don't know it all. You're going to humbly show reverence to God's message and His method, and you're going to humbly respond in the way that God wants you to, not how you think others want you to. We need to be more concerned about what God thinks, folks, than what someone else thinks. And it needs to line up with the Word of God, not somebody else's opinion, okay? Too many times we think we have the right opinion, and it's really nothing close to what the Word of God says. Number 6. Understanding God's Word takes the right response. It calls for you to respond, as we said, with unity, with eagerness, with endurance, attentiveness, and humility. And there are two more ways that you have to respond to God's Word if you truly want to understand it. You have to be broken by it. You got to let it speak to you. You have to be joyful in it. That's what that the word mirth means there in verse 12 is joy. Verse 9 says that the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, why was that? Because when we respond in all of those other ways to the preaching of God's Word, when it's preached, we're going to be convicted. And the Holy Spirit then will show up, and His job is to convict of sin and righteousness. He will show us our sin. If we're listening. And when we're responding in a right way to the preaching of God's Word, we're going to hate our sin the same way that Jesus hates it. And that's where the remnant found themselves. When was the last time you found yourself right there, convicted of something that the Lord had placed on your heart? You know, maybe the reason that you're not responding to the preaching of God's Word the way that you need to. So are we supposed to leave this place in tears every Sunday morning and Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night? No, we're not. But when the Lord convicts us, we need to respond. Because with the recognition of the badness of our sin comes the understanding of the goodness of our Savior. I'm glad that He'll always say, "I forgive." In verse 11, the teacher moves the people from weeping over their sin to the holiness of the day. The last verse of chapter 7 tells us that the time of their gathering was the seventh month. And according to the book of the law that Ezra was just preaching from, the seventh month was to be a celebration of the sacrifice of atonement. It was the sacrifice that symbolically paid the price for all of their sins. It was the sacrifice that pointed to the atoning work of Christ on the cross, where He paid for all of our sins. We just celebrated that last week, didn't we? You see, when we truly understand God's Word, our response will be twofold. We will weep over our sins. But as we weep over our sins, our joy will be made full in Christ. Because it's then and only then that we will see how wonderful our Savior really is. When we just break down and say, "All right, Lord, You're in control, and I'm turning this over to You." We will scatter to our homes. We will scatter to our neighborhoods with the good news of Jesus on our lips. When we realize how wonderful our Savior is. It won't be concerned about this. It won't be concerned about that. It will be concerned about our Savior's love, our Savior's forgiveness. We'll have celebration in our hearts and praise on our lips, and the world will see what a great and glorious Christ that we serve. And we will shed tears in here, but we will send portions and make great joy, the Bible says, out there. And because of that, people will be saved. Isn't that what we want? That's what we should want. Because if that's not our concern, then we've got another problem, don't we? We've got a spiritual battle going on the inside of us if we're not concerned about people's souls and people's lives. And when we understand the Word of God, then we can declare it to others. Shall we stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, as we make